Yeah.
Hi, I'm Russ.
And I'm clearly non-existent.
And we're two dads who love watching.
We did anyways.
Movies.
But not with each other, apparently.
On this podcast, we are chatting about the 2005 film, Domino.
Mm.
We've been watching movies since...
together, that's funny.
Yeah. I didn't even say it. Since we were 10 years old in Sean's basement.
Mm, my basement.
30 years later, we're back in the basement.
Don't you mean in the IMAX?
In this podcast, we're going to mispronounce words.
Forget people that might be able to go to a movie on Saturday if they can't make it on Fridays.
And most importantly, have fun. This is Just Another Review Podcast.
I like this and you like that. It's Just Another Review Podcast. We pick a show, sit down and chat. Now listen to the start of our show, because it's now.
Sean wrote the... I'm so excited.
We're back. Are you excited?
Oh, we're excited that we're back.
We're back.
Sean wrote the introduction of that of this podcast
episode. Yeah, let's clear the air here a little bit. We had a little bit of a movie gate happen.
A couple weeks ago.
It's the movie gate.
Like Watergate.
Yeah, yeah. So we're going to go back in time here a little bit. Oh, thanks, Russ. See,
he's good. Wayne's World.
Yay. And so Russ invited me and Jason to a movie, and it was for a Friday night. And unfortunately, Friday nights are a little difficult for me. My daughter is cheerleading. I yin and yang it with my wife. But anyways, I don't really have access to a car. If I don't take her to cheerleading, if I take her, anyways, blah, 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 blah. Friday night didn't work for me. So I messaged Russ and I said, hey, you know what? I'm sorry, Russ. Friday night doesn't work for me. What about Sunday? And you know what Russ replied? Do you know how Russ replied?
Are you asking?
Russ, do you know how you replied?
I quote, asking?
Fuck you guys. I'm going on Saturday with Jonathan. Peace. And we're like, what? So what was the deal? What was the deal, Russ?
Okay, well, that was lovely to hear it from your perspective. Let me just...
Wait, where's the swear jar?
Oh, every time Sean swears, he puts a coin. That's new. So on...
That's new and exciting.
On Sunday.
Sunday
night. On Sunday.
On Sunday.
Sunday afternoon. I say, do you guys want to go to Civil War on Friday?
Civil War. That's the movie.
Yeah. And Sean says, let me get back to you on Sunday.
Okay. But did I say I'll get back to you on Sunday? Or just
he said, let me get back to you.
Okay. Okay.
But you said that on Sunday.
Right. Yeah. Right. Right.
Okay. So Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
When did I finally reply?
Thursday. On Thursday, the day before we're going to go, that I've been waiting to get confirmation to go, you say, I can't make tomorrow night. Have fun, gents. As if we had, like, as if just because Sean now tells us everything had been organized and Jason and I were on our way. No, I got no response from Jason all week.
Oh, okay.
Let alone Sean just responds to me on Thursday. And then Jason responds, it's my wife's birthday tomorrow, so I probably can't go anyways. Sorry, Russ.
No, God, please, no.
So Thursday, after waiting 4 or 5 days to get confirmation if we were going to go, I went, all right. So I... talked to my buddy Jonathan, who I work with,
who's much better friends,
and he's like, yeah, no, he's like, we're gonna go, like, well, you guys want in? I'm like, yes, I want in. So later on the day, Sean goes, how about Sunday? And I'm, well, I'm going now with Saturday with Jonathan. And I said, I'll let you know how it is. And Sean just proceeded to tell me to fuck off for the rest. And that's what really happened. There you go.
I just like giving them a hard time. But let's go back in time.
Okay. Oh my gosh,
again? And let's pretend maybe I could go on Saturday. What would have you maybe had said?
Like if you said, oh, I can go on Saturday.
Yeah, like, hey, Friday doesn't work, but does Saturday or Sunday work?
Like for immediately
you?
Following?
Let's just say after, like, you made plans with Jonathan.
After waiting 5 days for
let's
you
just
to
say after to you made plans with Jonathan.
And you know, then you said, hey, I could go with you guys?
Yeah, said, hey, you know, I could make any day. Would you have been like, hey, I'm actually, you want to come with us?
Yeah, sure, I would have told you, yeah.
Okay, let's try. And then you would have said?
I would have said, we just got tickets to the IMAX.
And?
You should buy a ticket so you can meet us there.
And I would have said, go no way, there's hockey on tonight. Oh. And I wouldn't have come anyway.
Oh.
So.
What a transition.
Yes.
That's right. We live in Vancouver, Canada, and it's the NHL playoffs.
It is. Yes. Yes. And
our Vancouver Canucks are
in the playoffs for once.
Series one.
Yes. Round one.
And one against Nashville?
The Nashville Predators. Yeah, okay. They're a dangerous team.
And three games so far, we're up one?
Three games, we're up one, 2-1. We got to win two more, but it's not going to be an easy hill to climb.
And the fourth game is today at 2 in
52 minutes. At Russ's minutes. Basement.
In 52 minutes. So we're going to be joined by friend of the pod, Jason.
Friend of the pod. You see, we're not good enough to come to the movie on Saturday, but we're good enough to come watch games with you.
What sound is that?
It's that stupid now serving sound. From the DMV.
Now serving number 37.
Yeah. Oh, now serving 69.
Speaking of Domino.
Yeah, it was in Domino, the whole thing. Come on, don't you see the tie-in here?
I do now that you've explained it to me. So we have taken a long break.
Yeah.
And it's not just because Sean won't reply to his text messages.
Yeah, it's not that I gave you the cold shoulder for a couple of weeks.
It's also, it was spring break. I went to Disneyland.
Yeah.
So I got to visit. Welcome to Deluxe.
That's right. Please keep up on the grass, shine your shoes, wipe your face. Duluth is a perfect place.
What is that? What is that from?
Wow.
What is that from?
From Shrek, when they go to that abandoned the city. I don't know. Why is there nobody that joins them or greets them at the front? They walk through the...
I haven't seen Shrek since it came out.
Oh, no, it's like Shrek 2, I think.
Okay, I don't remember.
And they travel to this castle, and they walk in, and there's nobody there, and this is what greets them, this little small world mockery kind of thing. Right. But yeah, you went to Disneyland.
I went to Disneyland.
The happiest place on Earth.
It was great.
And how much did you have to pay for the happiest place on Earth?
No, grassy money. Lots of money. So now serving a poor Russ. Now serving Russ.
My credit limit is over. Right?
But got to visit friend of the pod, California Matt.
Woohoo!
Shout outs to Matt. Thank you for your hospitality.
I'm so excited to have seen Matt, right?
Matt drove us around Los Angeles. We went to Hollywood. We went to where does the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Beverly Hills?
Compton.
No, we didn't go to Compton.
Oh.
I went to Beverly Hills, Santa Monica.
Okay. Did you see any kind of questionable places? Did you drive through anywhere where you're like, I'm not going to step out of the car.
No, nothing like that.
Well, not too much of an adventure then, was it?
No, but we did spend about 3.5 hours in traffic on the way back from Santa Monica.
They seem to compare Los Angeles. I mean, I know you weren't in Los Angeles, but you're in California there near the vicinity,
We drove through Los Angeles.
And they compare it to Vancouver. What are your thoughts? I guess you're not driving to the downtown traffic too much, though, eh? You don't commute from one end to the other.
Today, normally.
No,
I didn't.
No, but you have. So you've endured.
I would say Los Angeles is worse than Vancouver.
Okay.
That's my predictions. That's my statement.
Thank you. Now this is JARP rating.
Stupid idiots.
That's not nice.
We're talking about the 2005 film Domino.
We're just starting to talk about it
now. Directed by Tony Scotch.
Scotch.
Why do you say that?
I don't know. Because everyone knows his name, Tony Scott. I bet he sat on set and just drank scotch.
I feel like he had a cigar. Like short shorts, pink.
I think that's Ripley.
Hat.
That smokes the cigars. But they're brothers, so I mean, they probably share the same.
Keep it in the family.
Things. Same things.
Written by Richard Kelly and Steve Baranchyk.
Richard Kelly, I feel like he's a TV writer. Was he a TV writer? He did
Donnie
writer?
Darko.
Oh, Richard Kelly did Donnie Darko. Strange movie. Jake Gyllenhaal says, while making that movie, he had no idea what it was about.
Maybe they were changing.
He learned his lines, but...
He's like, this is what you need to know.
As far as the through line, he had no idea what scene and how they rolled into next.
What is Donnie Darko all about?
What the fuck? I don't know. What is Donnie Darko about?
Time travel?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What would you say is the overall... time travel, yeah. But like what's... If you were to leave it... If you were to go in with a question that got answered to the movie, what would be that question and what would be the answer?
If it's like, what is life all about?
Yeah. What's important?
What's important in life?
Is it though? Like what happens at the end? I know he dies in the plane and it all kind of...
Yeah, because the accident is in the beginning.
But he ends up saving a girl
Oh, he sacrifices himself.
Does he? I don't know.
Let's do Donnie Darko next time.
Yeah, hey. I wouldn't be so...
Geez, I'm going to be so annoyed.
That's just it. They do it through the whole movie, and it just gets really annoying after a while.
This movie cost $50 million and only made $23
million. Yeah.
Womp, womp.
Not too good there, eh?
What's with the awards here?
Tony Scott got, from the Women Film Critics Circle Awards, he got the coveted Hall of Shame Award. So I was like, what is this Hall of Shame? Oh. So I believe it's when movies do a negative depiction of women and obviously the forward movement of women and all that. Like, and so, yes, this is a negative award that they hand out saying basically, you've... You brought the
shame.
Shame, you know, you, yeah.
It doesn't, does it pass the Bechdel test?
No. Does this movie pass the Bechdel test?
Yeah, well, so it has to have two female characters with names that talk to each other about something other than men. So there's their mother and daughter.
I wouldn't consider her mother a main character, but I guess she's in a few scenes, so I guess she'd be supporting.
She has.
And they talk about her dad, obviously, but then they do talk about work and her life.
It might.
I mean, don't think it'll pass the Bechdel, but it'll get a point.
I agree with the Hall of Shame Award for sure.
Mm.
We'll talk a little bit as we get into it.
Sure. Big cast, eh? Keira Knightley, Mickey Rourke, Edgar Ramirez, Monique. She's like Madonna. She does the one name. Mm-hmm. The 90210 boys. And then, you know, we get special guests by Christopher Walken, Mina Suvari, Delroy Lindo. That's quite a name, Delroy.
I like it.
Yeah,
interesting. Delroy Lindo.
Macy Gray, fabulous. And Tom Waits, yeah. I believe the other girl, I'm not too sure, that acts with Macy Gray, it's one of the Pointer Sisters.
Oh, really?
I don't know. She sure looks like it. I watch 80s music videos on mute at work, and I just look at the visuals. And it's a really good conversation starter for people that walk by. They're like, oh, what music video is on today? Sometimes I have to change the channel because, you know, they were pretty risky back
then. Why don't you just put a tattoo on your head that says, talk to me?
Yeah. And then, please, I'm lonely. Please
stop and talk to me.
Take a number. I'm lonely.
You just call people. Number 44, come talk to me now, please.
Anyways, I saw Pointer Sisters video last week. And I was like, that looks like that. The woman that was acting beside crackhead Macy Gray on it. Oh, I'm just kidding, Macy. You just seemed like a crackhead to me.
Oh, did they? How come?
Because she plays a crackhead in Training Day.
Okay.
The one with Ethan Hawke and Denzel Washington. The one where he won the Oscar for.
Award-winning.
Godzilla, King Kong.
They were just waiting for him to play a bad dude so they could give him
an Academy Award. Oh, man, he plays a good bad dude.
You play a good bad dude.
Who else played a good bad dude that normally plays a bad dude? Oh, what was that one? Justin Timberlake played this real sleazy guy that killed his wife. I forget the name of the movie, but he played a good sleaze.
I watched The Social Network that had Justin Timberlake in it. That's where I stopped.
He's the Napster guy.
Yeah, and that was a bad guy.
Mm.
Film piracy is illegal.
Do you know it?
Music piracy is illegal.
Arr.
It's not a victimless crime, as my DVD player says.
Right.
As I punch up the domino. Are you ready to get into this, sir?
Let's do this.
Yeah, you know how it is. You know how I go. Hell yeah. Out there trying to just eat. Live.
Twenty years ago, there was this man named Tony Scott who directed Man on Fire.
Oh, yeah.
Enemy of the State. Ooh, True Romance.
One of my faves.
Beverly Hills Cop 2.
Mm.
And Top Gun.
Oh, yeah.
And then he made this movie.
Huh?
Based on the real-life model turned bounty hunter.
Oh, yeah.
Did she win Bounty Hunter of the Year in real life? And under whose authority? The Bail Bonds Association of America.
Delroy Lindo.
Domino Harvey died the same year this film came out.
That's too bad.
Overdosed on fentanyl. Because according to Tony Scott, bounty hunting, they do a lot of drugs.
Lots.
And that's why he directed Domino the way he did. This film is like a bad trip.
a bad trip, and then you die. Rest in peace, Donald. Yeah. And don't do drugs, kids.
Those are bad.
And don't watch this movie.
That's right.
Have you ever had a bad trip?
Yeah, I had way too many bad trips. Oh. Yeah.
What was your worst trip?
I think when we were at Jared Blake's house, I was full tripping name. Balls on LSD. That's okay. He doesn't listen. He's not a friend of the cast. And sitting on his couch, and our drama teacher walked in the door.
Sorry, you were at his house?
We were at his house, a party.
In high school.
A ton of us were on LSD and you name it.
All right.
And for some reason, our drama teacher walked in. Kaz Williams walked in the
full name on that one, too. Here we go.
Hey, she's not a friend of the cast either.
Well, she could be.
Hey.
If you're Jared or Kaz and you want to give us a call, JARP at JARPpodcast@gmail.com.
That's J-A-R-P, not G.
J-A-R-P podcast@gmail.com.
That's right.
Give us an email. No matter who you are, let us know you're alive and that you're doing well.
Yeah, and let us know whether you want us to say your last name or not on the podcast. Where was I going? Oh yeah, bad trip. I mean, so I was tripping balls. I was like, I'm out of here. I got off. I ran out of the house.
Drama teacher walks in,
I run out. And I think the minute I ran out, I like look up at this tree and it's got like this giant face on it. It's like, rawr! Like, oh God. No, I had other bad trips. I can't really explain them. No, I think just a sense of a very heightened sense of anxiety and uneasiness, you know? Yeah.
I think mine was around the same time when we were hanging out with all those peeps, not necessarily those specific peeps, but whereas I was at maybe a girlfriend of yours, I'm not sure. But I just remember not leaving her front room, like where all the shoes were as people were coming in and out. And I were just like crunched in a little ball and like people would walk into the party and all they'd see is like a very unhappy Russ. And I couldn't move. I couldn't talk. And it was just,
you don't remember whose house it was?
No, it was Megan's house.
Megan Judson?
Yeah. Oh, full name. Here we go.
Where's the edit button? She's not a friend of the cast either.
We don't know. Like, Megan, give us an email.
Sorry, Megan.
Anyway, so. That was a pretty, that was a mixture of some drugs that I would never do again.
Oh, that was a bad, whether or not it was that same night, probably because we're all on acid. We were down in her basement and her brother was home or came home or something like that. Like her parents were away. So she kind of had people over and I think he kind of had some people over. And he came downstairs and he was kind of very alpha male and like kind of jock. And he kind of went face to face with a very high Alex Keane.
Oh.
Who was, I don't know how you would explain Alex Keane, but I think the guy is kind of, when he was stoned, I don't think he realized the thing. Like he was just
out there, man.
He wouldn't realize if he was being offensive or something. No, he had no horse blinders on, right?
He would talk loud. He would make jokes. He'd sing songs.
He'd be positive for some, but at some parts, he's this guy where you'd be like, just shut the fuck up, dude.
If you had to be quiet.
He would never. Yeah, if you wanted it quiet, you'd not have. Anyway, so I think he ended up, the aggressive, Megan's brother was sort of, going back and forth with him, and Alex, I think, was just kind of oblivious to the fact that he was just about to get punched in the face kind of thing, you know what I mean? And we're kind of just like, just shut up, man, you don't need to respond or be a goof. I don't know. Right. Anyways, that was a bad trip.
That was maybe the
probably the same night.
Yeah.
I think my problem is that I would trip out bad, and then I would do it again, hoping that it was a better experience. And then I would trip out bad again. So I should have just stopped doing acid.
I think that's pretty much what I did. Just needs one bad trip and go.
Don't do acid, kids.
No, God, please, no.
When they ask you, that's what you say. You just say no.
No, thank you.
Just say no, thank you.
Just say no. Thanks, Ronald Reagan.
Let's talk a little bit about this movie. Nancy. You know, we agreed we're not good movie critics, but we should talk a little bit about the context within this movie. So this is about a kind of diamond in the rough, would you say? A privileged girl from a Hollywood family who's decided to pave her own way by going completely against the grain of everything her parents have tried to provide for her and be a bounty hunter.
Well, and her dad dies at a very young age.
Right.
And so she starts making decisions that points her trajectory in the wrong direction.
Right, yeah.
She starts stealing money from the church. And then from there, the next step from stealing coins from the collection tin is obviously guns and
Nunchucks. She's channeling her daddy aggression issues into are they daddy issues?
I think there's lack of a father figure. At one point, I think she says Mickey Rourke's character was the father that she never had.
Right,
I'm pretty sure. And then afterwards, he tells her she has a nice ass. And then tries to have sex with her.
Right.
So it's the father that she never had. But the father she always
because dogs
wanted.
Don't normally try and hump their kids, do they?
And the mother seems to be very distant.
Aloof.
She only seems to be concerned about her daughter when she's going to go meet with a TV
when appearances are at are crucial, right?
Yeah. But like the fact that her daughter is playing with, cleaning guns at the dining room table and going out and doing these bounty hunter jobs, she's not concerned about that at all.
Right.
She's only concerned when she's meeting with Christopher Walken's character, the reality television producer. That's the only time she seems to have an interest.
Right. She humored her mother, right? She did the college, fraternity thing that didn't seem to work out. She tried going to college. She tried doing the modeling thing that didn't seem to jive with her either. So,
And you know why? Because this movie says women are terrible. And that's why she dropped out of university and modeling.
Right.
Because women just hate other women, according to this film.
Well.
And Tony Scott. No.
Girls are pretty mean.
People are pretty mean.
That's
people
true.
People are mean. But women can support each other and love each other. And this has a one vantage perspective.
Mm. We get a little, what would you call it? Is this what they refer to as like a metaverse when they bring something like that 90210 universe into this movie? Is that called being meta? Like a universe within a universe? Anyways, I don't know.
I mean, but it's also about a real life person.
Yeah.
So it's like everything is supposed
like there's this hyper realistic kind of world, or, they're obviously accentuating everything. It's an action movie, right? But then they're bringing the real life 90210, but, not the movie characters, but the actors.
The actors themselves. Playing themselves.
So they've broken the fourth wall here a little bit.
Yeah.
I think it's really funny. Is a funny, humorous part of the movie.
I think it could be funny, but
it felt flat a little bit.
Yeah, it felt flat for me. Having, I forgot this element.
I did too.
Part of the movie.
I forgot that the 90210 guys.
And of course, we were both. We graduated in 96, so
we were watched. Around at the height of their fame, right? I mean, we were in high school or junior high when 90210. I mean,
we both watched the pilot.
Everybody wanted to be what's his name, Brandon. What was his name? I didn't want to be him, but you know what I mean.
Brenda and Brandon.
Yeah,
Luke Perry. Who has the same birthday as you.
He did.
He did until he passed.
I guess it's technically still his birthday.
Yeah, of course. Brandon Priestley? I don't know.
Priestley,
the Canadian guy.
The Priestley guy.
Yeah. Shannon Doherty,
McGrath. Jenna McGrath? Tori Spelling.
Tori Spelling.
There we go. Yeah. And then who's the asshole that was in this movie? Brian Austin Green. There we go.
Was married to...
Megan Fox.
Here we go. Full circle.
There we go. Okay.
And
the funny part, though, was... At the end, when they got sort of, you guys don't need to be here from the sort of Mexican standoff at the top of the, and then
very true romance.
And as soon as the elevator doors close, they start breaking down and crying. Yeah. That was pretty funny.
Just like relief.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. The opening credits are nauseating to you.
Yeah,
I found a little much.
I found the opening credits to be.
Whole movie's nauseating.
You know
it's
what?
Filmed like
this is a lot of style and no substance.
Like a heroin. Yeah. I liked the use of different mediums in this movie.
I did not.
No,
I thought it was too much. There was no breaks.
The editing was just so obnoxious. Too much.
Yeah, I could not. Yeah, I just kind of felt sick.
It's like watching being on an acid trip for a little too long.
This is my whole thing. This is just a bad trip. I'm just waiting to turn the whole thing off.
I did like this movie a lot more back in the day. And I think because I was younger, I was only a couple years removed from film school. So this was like quote unquote kind of cool, you know. Yeah. So I remember liking this movie a lot more. Now going back and watching it, I do. Yeah. Agree with you. This movie's quite messy.
Yeah, and maybe we give him props for trying something. Yeah. Maybe Tony was going like
that's what I said. Maybe he was like using this movie as a stepping stone. I don't know what he did after this. Can you bring it up. This is what Russ is good at. And so I thought maybe he used this as just like an experiment for future projects and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean this is near the end.
Yeah, I kind of almost thought this might have been his. No, he did the
Taking of Pelham 1, 2, 3.
That's actually a pretty decent movie. Later. That's actually a pretty good movie.
Yeah, you like that one?
Yeah.
So his last director film.
That was
film
his last he directed, movie.
No, was Unstoppable. Like the year after. So he did.
Oh, actually, I didn't see The Taking. I saw Unstoppable. That's the one I saw.
Oh, that's the train
movie. Yeah, they're both train movies. Interesting. Yeah, very interesting.
He really liked it. So he did this movie, then he did Deja Vu, Numbers,
Taking a Pen. Deja Vu had a style kind of like this.
Looks like Denzel Washington's in it.
Yeah, but wasn't as much as this. And, you know, Man on Fire kind of had hints of this. But it was done a lot more tastefully. Mm. I really liked what he did with the subtitles on Man on Fire. He kind of animated them on a little bit. It was different.
So he tried things.
Yeah.
And sometimes they work.
And sometimes they don't.
They don't.
Yeah. You got to admit, though, this movie is kind of sexy, though.
Would
you give it that?
No, I wouldn't. I felt Keira Knightley was like terribly miscast and unbelievable. And it just felt... Yeah, it just felt weird. I don't know. And it felt gross, like it just with Mickey Rourke's character. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I like Keira Knightley. I think she's very attractive.
Who do you think might have been a better fit for this
one? Great question. I think it needs to be someone with edge. So it has to be like someone with a little bit more.
She's
like
a little too much of a princess.
Yes, like Keira Knightley, Pirates of the Caribbean. That made sense. Like someone who is growing up rich and has this like a little bit of like adventure attitude with her. But this does not work. Like this, I did not believe that she, had nunchuck skills.
Maybe how about a Jodie Foster?
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe.
No, just say no.
Like,
that was a loaded question.
You don't think Jodie could have done it? Like, I think obviously in 2005, she's older. Than Keira Knightley, so maybe
let's look at what the real Domino looks like. What's her name?
Domino Harvey.
No. But what does she play? She was in Constantine, and she played the bad angel that kind of manipulated everybody. The redhead, short. What's her name? Damn it!
With Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
No idea.
Fire up Constantine. What's Constantine? Fire it up. I need her name. She was Tar. No, she wasn't.
Kate Blanchett?
Not Kate Blanchett. Okay. No. The
Constantine in 2005 at the same time. Tilda Swinton.
That's it. Tilda Swinton. Look at Tilda Swinton.
Sure.
She might have been a good choice for Domino,
Yeah. I mean she's beautiful but she just has this like she's got a more unique look to her. Mm-hmm. And then she usually plays kind of like weird characters. Rachel Wise is also in. Wheeze? Would you say Wheeze or Wise?
Rachel Wheeze!
And I assume this movie does not hold up. Does Constantine hold up? Have you seen it recently?
I don't know. What's this? Mom married Mark Wahlberg, Hard Rock Cafe. What's
I'm
this?
Pretty sure she says, my mom married Mark Wahlberg, and he worked for the Hard Rock Cafe. But anyways, I'm just as I'm watching this movie, I'm just constantly writing down things that are pissing me off.
Okay. Piss gets piss. Piss gets quite hot. Sean, stop saying piss.
I don't know if I can't really think of anyone who would have. Maybe Hilary Swank.
Oh, Hilary Swank. Yeah, Swank it up.
Could she have done this? I think she feels a little more hard.
She can play a boy in that one.
Okay.
Then yeah. I think she can. She's got that.
Girls good, don't cry. Boys don't cry.
Yeah.
Don't cry.
She's got that good method acting transformation. I don't know if she's a method actor.
Yeah, I think Hilary Swank. That's my call. Who would have done this better?
That's the Swankster.
The Swankster.
The Swankster. The Swankerella. The Swankster. I think maybe this movie, it's like you said, was trying a little bit too hard. I was trying to think that whole ending was like trying too hard to be a bit of like a jigsaw puzzle. Right. Like,
Did you understand the plot? Like, could you explain the plot to me? Because I don't think I understood it.
I could now, but maybe my first viewing.
Hey,
but I think it was trying too much to be a jigsaw, like at the end and be like, aha, you know, like when Guy Ritchie came out and he was doing like Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels and Snatch. I think it was around the same time as this, you know, when the ending would kind of just all of a sudden piece itself together. Nice. Right. And you'd get that. Oh, right. This happened, you know, in this right. time, you know, so I kind of think maybe Tony was going for that, but it just fell short.
Yeah,
you know, the whole framing of those four other guys, you know, what, there was no real backstory to how those four guys right. were even connected to each other.
Right,
just that kind of greasy guy was like, I just get them girls, and the other guy's like, I just like to get them drugs. But there was no setup to the four of them, and like, why did he need to get fake IDs for them to even begin with.
It was trying
to
be clever for clever's sake, but actually didn't
make it. It just confused it even more.
Just confused it
more. Just confused it even more.
I mean, maybe I... Yeah, maybe it's just us. I mean, maybe this is a brilliant movie, but...
I don't know, 50 mil to make, 23 return?
I mean, at the time.
I think they're on the
but
same...
But you can't say like that's a full one-to-one... You know,
no,
Fight Club
but
didn't make
a
lot of money.
It's a pretty good indication of the type of movie.
You kind of forget like how popular like Dog the Bounty Hunter was back in the day, too.
Right?
So there's
and these reality shows too were all coming into light at this time.
So
right?
It is capturing a moment of reality TV and I think Mickey Rourke is the one who reminds me of Dog, you know.
Right.
It reminds me of someone like, oh, yeah, okay, I believe Mickey Rourke could have been a bounty hunter. Edgar Ramirez, no. I think there's even a line where it says his character had no home.
Yeah, he's like a street dog.
Yeah, he's like, but he looks like just a normal guy. He's like a beautiful man. The only crazy thing about him is he speaks Spanish. Like, is that the thing where you're supposed to be like, ooh, he's so wild.
He's so cute. He just speaks Spanish, even though I don't understand it. Yeah. And he speaks perfect English.
Neither of them look like they were, you know.
Okay.
Jeez. Gibberish.
Spanish gibberish. I don't really know what I'm saying. Su papa no tiene huevos. That means your daddy has no balls. My Colombian friend.
I would assume that Tony Scotch got the Shame Award specifically of the lap dance scene.
You think so? Like, well, she was able to...
I mean, that's just the most ridiculous scene probably
let's
of
the cure
whole
it
movie.
All with a
yeah.
panties bra lap dance.
Yeah, like it didn't... And those were real gangsters.
Those were real panties and bras?
Those were real panties and bras. And those were real... Tony Scott was using real gangsters because... I guess his buddy Michael Mann, that's what he was all about, using like real criminals in their movie to provide authenticity.
That edge.
Yeah.
So he went and said, hey.
Yeah. So now Keira Knightley's trying to, like, it was a body double for the actual lap dance. Oh, okay. But Keira Knightley's in that room acting with all these guys. They're from a real gang. Seems like a total unsafe place to put your actors to be vulnerable in. And then it just doesn't really, like, it doesn't make sense. Like, that to me is like a poor misrepresentation of a female.
Yeah, like, the guy didn't, like, he had to convince him. Like, and he wasn't even like, yeah, that sounds like a great deal.
I'm going to do it with my body.
Yeah, I'm going to give up my buddy just because I half-hearted wanted a lap dance from this girl.
Yeah, it makes no sense. Just a lot of, I think, the fact that two white men wrote this movie and there's things like sassy black woman and mixed race flowcharts. I think just probably makes this movie a little bit problematic now.
Do you actually want me to try and explain the plot?
Yes,
I feel like we'll just be wasting everyone's time.
No. I mean, I want to, and I'm going to try to poke holes in with it as much as I can. Okay, go.
Okay, so, you know, girl wants a change of pace in life from the Hollywood normality of, I mean, we've already gone through this or whatever, becomes a bounty hunter joining these two ruffians that work for a bail bondsman, right?
And how did she sign up to be a bounty hunter?
She saw the advertisement in a newspaper and went and saw that it was a seminar on how to be a bounty hunter.
And the seminar was what?
What do you mean?
Like, how does that seminar end?
Okay, so she goes to the seminar, and halfway through the seminar, they do a little introduction, they take a coffee break, and halfway through the seminar, she notices that the guys that are supposed to speak are packing up and leaving.
Right, it's a scam.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, no, it's not. I don't really think it's. I think it might have been. But at the same time, these guys were like, oh, we don't have time for this. You know what I mean?
Oh, so it wasn't a scam. To me, it portrayed as like, now we've got your money. Ha ha ha.
Well, he kind of. Well, they were packing. He says, you know, we've actually got to bounce out of here. Something like that.
But was that explained to the other participants of the seminar? Like, no. I paid my money. And so it just seems like they've got all the names of the people in the seminar. Like the bail bonds guy was a speaker.
Yeah.
I just didn't understand how they could get away with just like, anyways, I'm thinking.
Yeah, so it was probably a scam. Okay. You're probably right. Anyway, so she figures it out. Gets in their way, says, hey, I want to be a bounty hunter. I know throwing stars and nunchucks. Anyway, she convinced them to take him along, and after kind of a bit of a probationary period, she ends up being one of the crew. Now, along their way, the bail bondsman that they work for has got himself in a little bit of a predicament. Okay. One of his mistresses has a granddaughter.
Right. So there's a sick child.
There's a sick child involved. They
need money.
And they need $300,000 for it. So
life-saving
procedure. So, yes. So they
fries need... Fries are done. They need money.
They need money. And so they come up with this a scheme to... this bail bondsman also owns an armored truck company who sort of, you know, they transfer large sums of money. So he's got this one job where he's going to make it look like a hijacking. Okay. And then he's going to use his bail bondsman, quote unquote, to retrieve the money. And the fee to do all this, he's going to charge the guy that he's scamming $300,000 to return his money in order to pay for the sick child's treatment.
Okay. So they frame a bunch of dudes.
So as if they the patsies stole- that they... So they're going to hijack the truck. They need four patsies to take the fall. Rewind all the way to the beginning of the movie, and this mistress works at the DMV, but she does side hustles of providing fake IDs.
Right.
So someone through, I guess, just word on the street comes up to her asking for fake IDs, treats her really poorly, and so she ends up thinking, okay,
these are our patsies.
These are my patsies, these kids that want these fake IDs.
Right.
So she sets them up to be patsies. They end up finding these kids, potentially killing them.
But not.
They don't. But suppose everyone thinks they did. But these kids end up being
the sons
of a gangster.
Not related to the casino business.
No. Separate. Totally separate side anyways. Separate. So the gangster finds out, thinks his son is dead. So he goes on a vendetta mission to get back at the guys that potentially murdered his son, which was
the casino,
was the casino guy who had the money stolen from him. Anyways, so they all meet up. There was supposed to be a big exchange where the guy that got his money stolen, the bounty hunters were going to return it minus the finder's fee at Las Vegas. The gangster found out where this was going to happen, and he sent his guys there at the same time because he wants revenge for killing his son. Big ass shootout at the end. Da, 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 da. Everybody dies except Domino. And the money somehow gets into Monique's hands. And the daughter is saved. Yes. Oh, that was brutal.
Yeah. I think I got it.
You think you got it? Pretty weak sauce.
Pretty weak. Not well executed from my perspective.
Like, there's no even point talking about this anymore. Let's just rate it.
Okay.
Man, this shit is awesome.
You suck.
I give this a 0.5.
I saw that. That's really low.
This movie's not for me, everybody. It can be for you. That's fine. This wasn't for me. I think they tried something. They made some bold choices. They gambled and they lost. Unfortunately, they lost the real person, Domino Harvey, in the same year. I think everybody's super miscast except for maybe Mickey. Bad crook, bad script, nonsense plot, overdirected, too much style.
Like, what happened to our...
Too much.
What happened to our theory of we don't give under one because one's at least effort for making a movie?
No, this was that bad, yeah, eh?
This is bad. That's fair enough. Totally fine. Trying to see where your head's at.
And sometimes movies can be bad.
Like, did you good. Have to... Were you watching this in like 10-minute chunks?
No, I watched it, but I was just kind of like, oh.
You couldn't wait for it to end.
Yeah, I don't double screen it or anything. I just, you know, when I watch a movie, I you know, turn off the lights, I get in front of the big screen, and I go
full. I was saying 0.5 must have just been dragging your heels.
It was hard for me. Man, it was hard.
I'm sorry you didn't like it that much. I didn't think you wouldn't like it that much.
Yeah.
Hey, you picked this anyway, didn't you?
Well, I think because when I saw that
you came over and grabbed some DVDs.
Yeah, right? I grabbed it, and I was like, oh, Domino. And I think you had put it on the list, on the Google list.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure I did. Yeah.
So this was all, stars were aligning.
I'm glad I did. I'm glad I went back and watched it. Because now I know probably not to really recommend this movie to too many people.
But you gave this
some... I did. So, yeah, I gave it 3 jerps. Three? Though I think...
Jerps, by the way, we give 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 jerps.
That's right. 1 to 5, but Russ gave this one below 1. It was brutal. Yeah, I gave it 3 jerps, and I did think that I was kind of high, and I went back and looked at how I rated it. But I gave it points for cinematography. Not that it was... great cinematography. I gave it points for effort. I liked the effort. They tried something new. They tried something new. They used a lot of different mediums, from film to video, different types of film. So it mustn't have been easy for the cinematographer on the day to deal with a whole bunch of different cameras and a whole bunch of different lighting, having to light for a whole bunch of different formats. So that's what they got points for.
There's some skilled people here.
I liked the music score and the sound editing. So I gave it points for that. But the acting, the action, and any standouts were all mediocre or maybe just slightly above mediocre for me. And again, it seems like Tony maybe used this studio movie to experiment more for future stuff.
Sometimes directors do that.
Yeah, it's too bad. We can't ask him.
Aww.
Poor...
Because he went to director jail.
No, he didn't. Tony Scott passed away.
I know.
Oh, okay. Yeah, poor guy. He jumped off the bridge.
Oh, yeah. No, sorry, that is sad.
He committed suicide. And
who's to know? Because Ridley's still freaking making movies, and he's still like the king. So, you know, if Tony was still here, that's too bad.
It is too bad. Super, super talented family there. I really love... I know Tony maybe doesn't get the notoriety that his brother Ripley does, but Top Gun. He made some of the most, you know, memorable 80s movies. Oh, yeah. You know,
True Romance, one of our favorite flicks.
Yeah, man, one of our favorites ever. So,
should we do some stargazing? I got Trailer Watch here.
Trailer Watch.
I don't know if you've seen some of these new trailers that have dropped. Have you seen the Wolverine and Deadpool trailer?
I've watched it on my phone. I want to go back on YouTube and actually watch it like full screen on a computer screen.
I guess I just want to ask you, are you excited? Are you going to watch?
I am. Again, okay. Like
this is the Marvel property.
Like Furiosa, I think I'm going to try and if I can distance myself from the marketing materials a
smart.
Bit.
Yeah. Smart.
Furiosa, I want to be just pleasantly surprised. Good. I'm trying not to watch.
So we're under a month away from Furiosa coming out. I keep on checking my Cineplex.
To put this on record, I don't care if there's cheerleading that night. We're going.
Okay. So when it goes on, I'm going to go. I want to go to IMAX too.
Like you Coquitlam. Just buy the tickets and I'll be there.
So when I saw Civil War, we went to the IMAX in Coquitlam, which is...
Wait, you saw that with Jonathan, right?
Yeah, my best friend Jonathan. And then I saw... It's an IMAX camera or projector that's like only has like, there's only like 10 in all of Canada. It's like a laser projector.
Okay.
The sound and the picture are amazing. Like I don't want to watch any other movie any other way that is, you know, that's like a Furiosa. So I'll buy. Yep. As soon as it comes out, I'm going to buy tickets to the Coquitlam IMAX on Saturday, maybe even Friday. Maybe I'll go twice in a row. I'm not sure. Ooh. Also, a new M. Night Shyamalan movie. The Trap. Is it Trap? Trap? Yeah, with the dad at the concert.
Yeah, I watched that trailer. It was a very interesting trailer and cool. But then you watch it and you're like, hang on, like they're giving too much away.
Are they though?
That's just it. And then you go back and you look at who's directing it. It's M. Night Shyamalan, Ding Dong. And so
You know something
else. There's something else. And that with the marketing, if he is giving people the impression that Josh Harnett is the bad guy in this movie. Right. He's probably not. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, or he is, but that's just not the only
plot line.
Right. So there's something else going on.
But I really like the trailer. You're like, oh, yeah. You're like, oh, he's taking her to a Taylor Swift concert. What a nice daddy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then you're like, oh, like, is this kind of like a Die Hard thing?
Yeah. Where he's going to have to go save his daughter?
Yeah, he knows. Yeah, he's going to go. And then you're like, oh, hang on. Like, he's a bad dude. He's
the bad guy.
He's the bad guy. I like him. Yeah, I guess he hasn't been in a movie for a while either.
Well, he was in that movie called Oppenheimer.
Right.
So that was.
Did he have a? I don't remember.
He was the other teacher. So like when Oppenheimer was in one classroom, going blah 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 nuclear physics and the other
nuclear physics. He was
Josh Hartnett, played like the other teacher. I think who had a little bit more pedigree in the school, and then he had more practical students that were able to help support his work. Oh, I don't know. There was some, and there was obviously the political aspect of both teachers. Josh Hartnett's there. He's there. He's just maybe not on your sight line. Mm. Any other things that you're really interested in or want to share to the people listening today? Hello, everybody.
Well, I've watched a ton of movies talking about movies now?
Yeah, what's some of the movies you've watched since last we talked?
I went and watched The Holdovers.
Okay, yeah, good.
So good.
Yeah, really good.
I really, really, really enjoyed it. It was a really good movie at the end. Even though...
Why can't you push a button that sounds like we're at the DMV?
I don't know. Oh, that's a would you... hang on a second.
Uh-oh. The question for Sean is, did he like it better than... Academy Award.
Can you hear that?
Best Picture. No, I can't hear anything.
Oh.
Oppenheimer, did you?
Oh, there we go. Uh-oh. Spoiler. Uh-oh. This is what I was looking for. Holdovers.
Holdovers.
Even though the it's ending.
About real people doing real things.
Even though he gets fired at the end, it was still, you know, it ended on a really good note.
Right.
There's a lot of through line in that movie.
Yeah.
A lot of people.
Moving on to bigger and better things.
Becoming better.
Right.
You know, improving themselves. Whatever. Yeah. I like that.
A real good Christmas movie?
Yeah, it was a Christmas movie. Yeah, and I waited too long.
Coming of age.
Yeah. I went on a war kick. I watched All Quiet on the Western
Front. The new one on the Netflix.
Yeah, on the Netflix. The perspective from a German shoulder. German shoulder.
From the German shoulders?
So good.
It was filmed over the shoulder of a German
soldier. So friggin' good. Polish film, I believe.
Sure.
Or Danish film? Sure. Polish or Danish?
Sure.
One of them.
I'd like a Danish.
Yeah, really good. Highly recommend it.
I watched it on the Netflix.
Mickey Rourke. I watched Angel Heart.
I don't know what that is.
It's very old Alan Parker?
Mm, sure.
Alan Parker you movie. Tell me. The guy that did The Commitments, I believe. Anyways, it's kind of detective.
Robert De Niro.
Yeah, he's got a small role in it. Small role. Kind of like a film noir detective slow-paced movie with some kind of freaky undertones to it.
Well, it's filmed by Alan Parker, who also did Midnight Express and Mississippi Burning.
Mississippi Burning, right.
He did some movies.
Angels Ashes. Yeah, you can see I got a lot here. Cocktail. I went back and watched the good old Tom Cruise Cocktail.
And you enjoyed it?
It was it's cute. I'll give it, it's got a cute rating. It'll be a good date movie, I think.
Oh.
Gets a little harsh near the very end, but then, you know, comes back. I watched King of the Kickboxers.
King of the Kickboxers. Family-friendly.
It was amazing. And
this
movie, I believe.
Tell me about this movie. What year did it come out?
Oh, I don't know. 2000, I want to say. Right. I believe the whole thing was re-recorded after the fact. Tybo Billy Blanks plays the bad guy in this movie. Right. It's
like they voice-overed everything after the fact.
Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Worst movie ever, probably one of them.
Do not. Is it worse than Domino?
Yes. Yes, but according to you, I'm not quite sure.
You saw Love Lies Bleeding.
I did. I watched Love Lies Bleeding last night with the wife. We watched it.
Oh, for your anniversary.
Yeah.
Happy anniversary.
It It's an A24 movie.
Oh, yeah.
I don't really think there's much I can tell you about it without spoiling anything. No, so, no. Yeah, I'll get that one to you, and it's fabulous. It's pretty good. Yeah. I wouldn't say fabulous, but it's good.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, and... Yeah, it's got the A24 vein to it, especially. Yeah, yeah. We'll just leave it at that. You got to watch it. Yep. Monkey Man, very disappointed in this movie.
Dev Patel.
Yeah, I like Dev Patel. I do too. I thought for sure this was going to be sort of the Indian John Wick. No, it wasn't as good as I was hoping. Mm. So
first directorial debut.
There was some very interesting things about it. He made some choices that I wouldn't have. There was this one action scene, and instead of sort of pumping it with sort of high-paced intense music, he went to kind of juxtapose it with like la 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 la, like, and it just didn't work. I was like, oh man, he should have just went all out, like, you know, because it got really gory, and there were some parts that were really gory, and I had to turn my head away a little bit. I don't really like the blood too much anymore.
I don't like the blood so much.
No, I get a little queasy with the blood. And Rod.
Rod from work.
Oh, Rod from work.
R-H-O-D-D?
R-O-H-D.
R-O-H-D,
yeah, Rod. He's the Rod. Ramrod. Team Ramrod.
Oh, anyways. Team Ramrod.
Rod.
What team you on? I'm on Team Ramrod.
I've started the train wreck that is the Beastmaster 1980. She said it's so bad that you gotta watch. It is
so bad it's so good.
No,
it's so bad.
No, it's so bad it's so bad.
I don't think I know. I mean, I know if someone said is Beastmaster a film, I'd say yes, it is. But yeah. I wouldn't know anything more than that.
I'm halfway through and I had to stop it when Rip Torn was throwing small children into a burning fire and sacrificing them. And then
that's fun.
Yeah, that's fun. But it was like almost comical. And Rip Torn has this horrendous prosthetic nose on. And anyways, I just finished a part where the Beastmaster saved a child with a crow. So as this 80-pound kind of, you know, not 80-pound, 50-pound, you know, 5-year-old child was thrown into this fire, the Beastmaster was able to conjure a crow to swoop down and pick the child up and save it. Yeah.
It was
amazing. Oh, it was just amazing. So, yeah.
So you're saying, so why did Rod recommend this to you? Because
he thought, I think he thinks it's so bad it's good. Like Roadhouse kind of.
Right.
But I don't think so.
You don't agree? I mean, it kind of looks like Conan the Barbarian here as I'm watching.
Yeah. This. It's like it's trying to be. I don't know what it is, though. It's definitely interesting.
Oh, Rip Torn. I don't think I've ever seen a young Rip Torn.
No. I think the first time I experienced Rip Torn was in the Dodgeball as the wheelchair trainer in Dodgeball.
Right.
You know, he throws the wrenches at him.
Yeah, if you can dodge a wrench.
Yeah, that's Rip Torn.
Yeah. No, I...
Whatever, man.
Oh, man. You know what movies I recommend some TV shows for you.
Okay.
You ready? Shogun.
Yes. I've heard nothing but good things.
Ripley. Netflix.
Okay.
Okay. There you go. That's all for me. Thanks, everybody.
Hey, wait. You started watching that, the universe one.
Yeah, it's not good.
What's it called?
The three-body problem.
Right.
Yeah.
Everybody was...
Yeah.
Netflix was... I actually never heard anybody tell me go watch it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Supposedly Baby Reindeer. I started watching half an episode.
I've heard...
Supposedly it's interesting. It gets a little
my
wild.
My social media is telling me that everyone's talking about it. I don't know if that's true or not. I mean, my social media was doing the same for Three Body Problem. Three Body Problem started somewhat strong, but did not end.
That's too bad.
But I think there will be more, and maybe, and I probably will watch it because I did watch the whole thing.
You're gonna go watch Love Lies Bleeding.
I would say Shogun and Ripley are, if you've only got so much time, those are the episodes. Those
Shogun,
are the
yeah, I definitely want to get on that. Well,
are you ready for a random movie trivia game?
I think. Are you before ready?
Before we watch the Canucks game?
Yeah. Are you ready?
Ready
for
random movie trivia game.
All right, we've got cards that we've never seen before. Sean's going to randomly select a card, and I'm going to randomly select a card. On each card are 3-4 questions each. We don't know the answers.
We don't.
We haven't seen the answers, I guess I should say.
We haven't.
Time will tell if we know the answers.
That's right.
I'll ask you the first question.
Okay. I
think you've been winning recently, so.
I have got two or three under my belt.
Good for you. What movie sequel were called 2.5, The Smell of Fear, and 33 1/3, The Final Insult?
The Naked Gun series?
Good for you. Congratulations. Good for you.
What does Remy dream of becoming in Ratatouille?
A chef, like a
famous correct chef. Yeah. Chef, don't overthink chef. It.
Okay. What is Rambo's first name? John, Robbie, or Dirk?
John Rambo.
Yeah, that's correct. You know, when Disneyland, you can buy little figurines that you can kind of like magnetize to your
shoulders, like your conscience.
Yeah, so you can have a little
Rambo,
Remy.
Oh.
And you can like magnetize him to your hat.
Oh.
And it looks like he's like controlling you like it is in the Ratatouille
movie. I see.
That's all I got.
How did he? He was pulling on Buddy's hair,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
to work his arms?
Yeah. Yeah.
Funny movie. How many cars does Memphis have to steal to save his brother in Gone in 60 Seconds? 25, 50, or 100?
Oh, Jesus. Let's say 50.
Good guess.
25 seemed too little, and 100 seemed too
impossible.
Much. What is the name? Oh, ready? What is the name of Kane's private estate in Citizen Kane? Utopia, Shangri-La, or Xanadu? Utopia, Shangri-La, or Xanadu? What is the name
I should of know Kane's this.
Private estate in Citizen Kane? Utopia, Shangri-La, or Xanadu?
I'm going to guess Xanadu.
Rosebud. Xanadu, you're right. Xanadu.
I know that word. Where else would I have heard that word? I thought maybe a Rip Torn movie, but no, Xanadu. wasn't Rip Torn.
I don't think.
Oh, I thought maybe Flash Gordon for a second was going to whip out. No.
So you got three.
All right.
See if I can meet.
Before you. Being captured and enslaved, mm-hmm. How did Solomon Northup make a living in 12 Years a Slave?
Oh, come on.
Before being captured and enslaved, mm-hmm. How did Solomon Northup mm-hmm. make a living in 12 Years a Slave?
Mm-hmm.
12 Years a Slave.
He was.
Have you even seen 12 Years a Slave?
Oh, for sure.
Oh, yeah, okay. Brad Pitt. What did he
He was Michael Fassbender. They're just like Brad Pitt was a producer, but he also had like a small part in it.
Hurry. You're out of time.
I'm going to say he was like an accountant or a lawyer or something.
Wrong. He was a violinist.
Damn it. Musician. Son of a monkey.
All right.
In what lake did Jason drown, presumably, in Friday the 13th? Come on.
Crystal Lake.
This is stupid.
Am I right?
You win. Yes, you win.
Okay, but you still want to do the last one?
Yeah, I'll do my
last
one. See if I can come close.
Okay. Matt Damon and Jodie Foster star in what movie about a ravaged Earth and a luxurious space habitat?
Elysium to something? Is that the one? No? Damn it.
Yeah. So, you had it.
Oh. Elysium 30. Elysium. Just Elysium.
Just Elysium. There we go. Okay. We'll give you that.
I don't know why I thought there. Oh, I was thinking Pendel or something. 1, 2, 3.
Wow. That was amazing. A
movie about trains.
Hey,
thanks for coming, everybody. Hey,
thanks for joining our show.
Go Canucks, go.
Go Canucks, go. Go Canucks, go. Go, go.
Okay, see you, buddy. Love you, buddy.
Love you, too. Bye.
Love you, Jonathan.
That's not the outro music. You know, it was the whole I love you, Jonathan that threw me off there.
I like this and you like that. It's just another review podcast. We pick a show, sit down and chat. Jesus, now listen to the start of our show, cause it's now.
Go Canucks, go! Go Canucks, go! Go Canucks, go!